January 7th and January 21st. January 21st was a roundtable over in Hornell, and Amanda did a great job of summarizing it. We had a good crowd, a lot of feedback. We're thinking about the next one. We might do it for farmers, small farmers. So that's still in the thought process. So, motion for both.
A second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries. Building and grounds. Eric.
Morning, everyone.
Morning, Eric.
So today we got one item for buildings and grounds. We're requesting authorization to spend out of a capital project, COMSVCBATH, which is Community Health Building and Bath. For renovations to the Bath Community Health Building. We're going to be creating an admin suite internally in the area on the second floor, which includes some layout changes, replacing doors, ceilings, lighting, electrical upgrades, network and carpet, along with improvements in other areas in the buildings in the building. One of the areas is the back entrance door. We're putting into this project as well. It's one of the ones that doesn't have card access. The employees use a ton, so that's also included this. Another project is out of the mental health in Hornell, or I'm sorry, community out of Hornell, tinting the windows. We've had some issues with heat gains in the big glass windows in the front, so we're going to tint the windows. Lynn's done a good job with spearheading that on her end to get that rolling because of the complaints in there with the heat. So that'll come out of this. So today we have currently about 108,000-ish in the account as it stands. We're requesting to spend up to $75,000 to complete these projects. These are all based off estimates we did internally. We're doing all the work internally with buildings and grounds staff. We have one subcontractor, if you will, through our maintenance coordination, is with the electrical. There's a lot of electrical, old electrical in the area that we're tearing out in the mental health building for Bath. So we wanted to get his eyes on it, or their eyes on it, and tie some of the stuff to breakers correctly and panels, and then upgrade some old wiring that we exposed in the demolition process.
Motion.
Make a motion.
I'll second it.
Any questions for the discussion? Kelly.
We're upgrading the administrative suite. Do you
Yeah.
even have one? And what is the need?
So yes, good question. So we're gonna create a crack conference space, but the fact that they're taking on more employees, we're trying to build space for roughly six case managers, two therapists. They need, closed doors. So us building out in an area that wasn't utilized, Lynn and Betty did a wonderful job getting stuff cleaned out in the building. This has been kind of an ongoing thing. We had areas in sight. They've been mulling around what they needed best for their operation, and we came up with this area that was filled with stuff. Ceilings were falling down. Renovating that piece, which is freeing up two other small conference spaces, and we're going to create office spaces out of those as well, out of this money. So we're hoping to gain maybe four out of this build out, give or take, if we can squeeze more out, depending on how the layout and what we've been when we pulled some of this stuff down investigatively. The building is so old that we've run into different walls, stuff we didn't know, stuff we anticipated on doing we couldn't or can't. It's not feasible. So it's kind of a moving plan at this point, but we're definitely picking up office space for these positions that Lynn has coming on or have coming on it currently and trying to find space for.
So this will increase your ability to see patients and maybe less of a waiting list.
All
Right.
thank you. Yeah.
So Orly and I, in the last couple months, we had to move out of our offices to make room for clinicians. We're also doing more telehealth options, so clients will come into the building, but they need a private confidential office to sit in to do the telehealth in. So we had moved down to the space, which was kind of falling apart and not wired. So we were using that for a while as it was, but we're like, well, it's probably not that safe. So in reality, it could create up to six office spaces, really, if we use some of the conference space that way. And right now we have six interns. We normally have two. We've sort of been at capacity. I think county management knows this in our Corning and Hornell offices for probably a decade. So our space has really been in Bath. We've had to hire two court navigators. Not ha had to. We did have to hire two court navigators for the state, but we hired four new case managers, five new case managers, and four new peers. to supplement services for people because there's such a clinician shortage in the area. So they all share offices, but that was six office spaces right there, plus offices. We have more interns to help us out, but also we're hoping they'll stay. We're trying to more recruitment efforts that they'll stay after their internships and gain into employment. So that's where the office space is going, and the telehealth use. So this is really just creating offices for us, but an additional potential four office spaces for hopefully clinicians when we hire them or other people. Yeah.
That sounds good. That kind of ties into wanting to make sure that we look at all of our buildings, this one included, especially now that we own it, and see if there are any other issues or things that need to be done with the building. So thank you
Yeah,
for that.
I think this is a great next step. If you've been over there, the first floor and lobby has been completely redone. I think it works great, looks great. So yeah, definitely an improvement.
Yeah, the lights outside are phenomenal. They put a nice big light in the alleyway because the employees park out back. And when I stop there for Town of Bath meetings, I see employees coming out of there and they're walking down the alley in the dark. And I asked Eric to put a light on the side of the building so it's much, much nicer, brighter, safer.
That paid off that building.
It's not fully paid off. We actually, and it was a deal with the seller. We mortgaged that. They didn't want a one-time payment, so we have a few more years left to that
Was
mortgage.
10 years, was it?
Yeah, and that's for the three buildings. Because that owner owned the offices in or the facilities in Corning and Hornell that we also purchased.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Hi.
Aye. Any opposed?
That's
Carries.
all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Hello, Marie.
Good morning.
Morning.
How is everyone today?
Good.
Nice to see some new fresh faces there. Happy February too.
What about the old fresh faces?
They are so nice to see too. So bright and shiny and young looking.
We're history, Scott. We're history.
right. So the first item is the first transit contract. Chris left. Curtis, what do we want to say about that?
So,
being closed session.
So, okay.
I can.
So Chris just came back in, if you'd
Oh,
like to.
okay. I can. Chris and Marie and Curtis have worked through this issue. It's a little bit different. Normally, in previous contracts with TransDev First Transit, we would act as a pass-through. So we would receive the federal funds. Whatever we received, we passed along because they are the provider. These folks have gone back and forth with them. This is the way that they're doing the Corning seats contract as well. They essentially want what is estimated as the federal funds that we receive through the state. They want 1/12 of that, so a payment every month.
And basically upfront.
So in because we need to seek reimbursement, so it's essentially fronting them the payment. Because we have an out of the contract, we feel comfortable that if the federal funding ever went away, the good news in this case is when we were acting as the pass-through and essentially sending on the money when we received it, First Transit TransDev would receive the benefit of any additional federal funds that came through, and it's not abnormal in a year for additional funds to come through. In this case, we would retain those. So it's different. It's a little bit of a risk, but I think the risk is limited because if the federal funds ever went away, we could cut the contract off pretty quickly. It's just we are fronting the money and then we are getting reimbursed as opposed to getting the money and passing it through. But just want that's how the contract language is. We don't think ambiguous, but they argued. So we want to bring this to committee because it is a change in practice and a change of essentially terms of the contract.
Scott, total annual amount is what is it, like 700 something?
Ish, yeah.
560.
Oh, 560. Okay.
Yep. So we're paying 1/12 of that each month minus the fare box. And that's a thing that we've never really spoken about is we've never credited that or use that as part of the formula. So now it's really less than the 560 because that's going to be credited on the monthly. So that's okay. Kind of another benefit to this.
Yeah, we're fronting the cash, but I think the upside for us in
yes.
terms of the fare box and then also any additional federal funds is on ours. They have less risk because you know, they don't have to wait.
They're basically doing it for cash flow.
Cash flow, yeah, correct. Yeah.
And we get payments from the federal government annually, twice a year, how often?
It's quarterly. Quarterly at best.
Yeah. It varies. Sometimes they're far behind, but I'd say generally quarterly.
Okay.
So yeah, that's
not a huge risk then.
Yeah, we're not, you know, sitting on 2 years worth of
right.
fronting the money.
Correct. That's the impetus of bringing it today is instead of being out 10 grand, 20 grand on a normal basis, we'll be out low six figures.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Kelly.
Is this the same company that we were helping Corning with?
Yes.
Shore up there?
Yep.
Yeah. They're kind of the only one.
Okay. And have they provided any kind of business plan as to how they're going to shore up their activities yet?
Not particularly. We have some things that are in the works that we plan on bringing to you in the next
month or two,
March or April, that we're
confirm this document.
Second public hearing for CDB 3063. I believe for this one, it's normally been about that or less with costs, of course, rising and everything, but they just swelled up a bit. So that's good. And then we have to.
Explain what are these projects?
This one, the CDBG, the well and septic for households.
Motion. Second. Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Carries.
And then from the start of the 30. So that is February 15th to March 17th. Yes. That one went out on CE. See, we're collaborating. So they're going to put it in their ag newsletter. And they have their ag newsletter. And really, they do a lot with people get to for this program, too. So it's great that we have that research and cooperation.
Motion.
Motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any
County. They are that are compromised. Systems within 200, and we've got the and small creeks. Cucas out there, that's where we get the majority of them, but definitely interest in it.
And there are requirements of the program. It's a popular program, but this is one where there are more than legislators have been contacted because all five. So it's a heads up. It's a good program.
Yeah.
Is not in the face, correct?
Pardon. Are we main doing this? A lot of the time for inspection.
They might have, 5-10 years left in their septic system, but they want to get it done. They think they get money when they're denied.
So, and also, so for the amount received, they have to pay it, then we reimburse them, and then we ask for reimbursement from EFC. So it's 50% up to 10,000. So $20,000 or more dollar system, they could qualify for $10. If it's 8,000, they would only qualify for 4,000.
So gentleman from Wayne ever give up?
Yeah.
Remember the one you and I
believe he did. Yes. And Chris and Jack can all regale you with their experiences with that particular person.
Is Loon Lake one of them?
I believe Loon Lake wasn't it?
Nope. Unfortunately, Loon Lake. Yeah. associations do attend that, and they all want to be on that, in on it, but it isn't. And it's the DEC that decides what. Criteria why are whether it's low oxygenated, high their chemical count, that type of thing. And we also get a spreadsheet of the estimated septic systems on each lake, or I'm sorry, water body. Just so you have to have to look at that. Because for round five, they keep putting some. So we keep putting it back to where when he runs all the reports, how many septic systems are there by address. So we keep, well, they keep pushing it down, but we keep pushing it there. And everything, and send out the disbursements, and it works very smoothly. Wayne, of course, is a big user of it just because of their regular septic inspections. So Juanita and Cuca, and I think their code enforcement officer also is aware of the program. So they'll mention it and failed and likely to fail too. Plus, we plan on doing another service campaign with Eddie too to get that word out there. Since the program started in 2018-ish, I think we feel that there's other property turnovers. So get more out there.
So no county cost.
Correct.
We actually get an ad.
Same no systems.
Yeah.
So we do that.
That makes it more and more expensive. Not unusual, $25,000-$30,000.
Yeah. And it, you know, they're limited because of parcel size, everything like that. Any like cesspool, you can't just keep it cesspool. You know, you have to break it, and that's part of it too. So you have to better the system, not really band aid fix it. And it has to pass inspection too after you have those repairs done. We require proof of the plans, the estimate, and the proof of payment too, before we were reimbursed. And we just went through a whole application. We have to, used to be four pages, and it was a template that you see it said that tried to pare down because we found that people didn't know when their septic was installed or what it was made out of. So we pared it down, got the approval of that. It looks good. Three of us put input on it, and it's good. The first one went out in the mail just earlier this week.
Thank you. We don't need a motion for this vote.
Nope. That's just a notice, just that it's upcoming. So there's still, I think, with the spreadsheet, we just back them with septic systems. We believe on the priority water bodies, they want that with funding. Although the amount of funding is like 400,000. I mean, it's a lot. And we've never used all that. Because when you're looking at just, you know, $10,000 or less each one. So it's one of those, it's nice that they keep extending the program too. To better the.
Well, thank you. Price.
All right. February.
You.
Got my Valentine's hanging on my door case. Me a Valentine.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, anything further?
Has the village proved ownership of their commercial building?
I'm going to reach out to them. I saw there was a post. I have not received any.
I think that there's some issues with the estate siblings. So I did send a text to Aaron Mullen, but I didn't hear back from him. He's a village's attorney.
Oh.
So I'll keep following up on that. I told him at the last village meeting us updated because we put a time limit on their ability to use our program if they couldn't prove ownership or similarly. If that piece falls through, I would probably be bringing it back for us to approve. I mean, it definitely needs to be torn down. There's nothing else you can do with it, but you can't just tear a building.
They did that in Addison.
Yeah. Marie, do you have something further?
to mention that there is a webinar today. I did send it to people, you know, it's about PFAS and rulemaking with that. So there's two upcoming webinars. And the one is today.
Right, the one is today, and then there's the biosols and stuff on the old. Thanks. Hope you lose here. No, in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries. Thank you, folks. Mm-hmm.